morning, everyone. So glad to be able to share with you God's word again. God again has given us a wonderful message today. And today is a very special Sunday. Why is it so special? David.
Super Bowl.
Okay, correct. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. And more special than that is because New Orleans Saints will be in Super Bowl. And this is the first time for New Orleans Saints to be in NFL championship game. And this is a historical event, especially after New Orleans experienced Hurricane Katrina, and that was devastating, and many people lost hope. That's why New Orleans Saints being able to play tonight in Super Bowl gave people in New Orleans much hope. And I believe it also gives many people who are not New Orleans or Louisianians hope, because they see that if we have a dream and we work really hard for it and persevere, we have a chance to attain it. So that's why many people are very excited today. And I wonder how many of us will actually watch the game tonight. Put up your hand if you would watch it. Okay, very good. Most of us would watch it. I think this is a very special event. If you can watch it, and go ahead. Whether you will watch it or not, the reality is Americans love big sport games. You know what? And Super Bowl is their favorite. But to help us benefit spiritually from this Super Bowl experience, we will look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to chapter 10, verse 10. And we will see what we can learn from the dedicated athletes in the Orleans Saints team and the opposing team. But we also will learn what to watch out for while we are fans of these big sports events. Okay, so we can maximize the benefits and avoid the harm that some of the games might do on us. Okay, so in a historical moment for the New Orleans Saints, today we will see how we can be winning saints. Winning saints. We are not New Orleans Saints, but we are saints. Okay, God calls believers of God saints. We are all saints, but we want to be winning saints. How can we be winning saints who wows in their lives? When you see something that's very impressive, you'll say, wow, right? That's your natural response. But today we'll learn how to be a winning saint who wows in his or her life. And wows represents 4 points that we'll see from this passage. W-O-W-S. We'll see what that means, that represents. First, we will learn that winning saints, W, work hard to please God. Work hard to please God. Just like the Americans, the Greeks love big sports games. Guess what the Greeks had for these sports games? Olympics, exactly. And there are Panhellenic Games, and Olympic Games is just the first and the most important sports festival among the other three, okay? So each year there will be one big sport event, starting with the Olympic Games, and then the second year, another one, the third year, and then the fourth year. So they have like 4 year cycles of sports festivals or big sports games. So Paul used to watch the Corinthians were familiar with to teach them a very important spiritual lesson that we will see today that we will also benefit from. Verse 24. Do not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Paul noticed that in the Olympics and other sports festivals, there were runners, just like the football players with New Orleans Saints. These runners, they were not fooling around. They set their mind on winning. If you ask the honest saints, most of them will think that we will win, and that's our goal. Verse 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Not only did the athletes, dedicated athletes, set their mind on winning, not just on the mind level, but they proved their commitment to win through strict training. They will go through a long period of intense discipline. And before they could participate in the games, they actually needed to swear to Zeus. And that was a Greek god, the leader of all the Greek gods. They needed to swear to Zeus that we would be disciplined and we would go through 10 months of strict training before we go compete. And I believe all team members of New Orleans Saints, the reason why they are here today is because they went through strict training with a goal in their mind that we are going to win the game. Verse 25. I want to show you a picture. Go to the next slide. Okay? This is a statue of Zeus, the leader of the Greek gods, and this is a very good picture of a stadium where Olympics and other sports festivals were carried out, and you'll notice that the athletes were naked. I mean, that's how they competed. They did not wear any clothes when they competed. And we'll see other things from this picture. Verse 25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. If you notice in that picture, there were athletes who were being crowned, put on a crown. And what is happening there? It's because the winners will be honored through receiving a crown made of plants, branches, and leaves that symbolizes you are the winner. This is an honor. There's no monetary award, but when they go back to their hometown, they will be showered with gifts. So that's like money in a way. And they will also receive many honors when they go back to their hometown. And I mean, honor is something that is very precious. But you notice that, go to the next slide, and then the next. Yeah, these are the crowns, the plants that were being used to make the crowns for the four different sports festivals winners. One made of olive, another one laurel, and wild celery, and another one pine. So these different plants were being used for making the crown for the winners of these four sports festivals. But you'll notice that maybe in a month, maybe even less than a month, these plants would wither and they would no longer be as beautiful as when they were fresh. So that's why Paul said these crowns will not last. It's also true that if New Orleans Saints wins tonight, they would also get a trophy. Go to the next slide. This is the trophy. The champion of Super Bowl of NFL would receive. Okay, this costs about $25,000, and that's for the whole team. And the next one, and also each member would receive a Super Bowl ring that costs about $5,000. But with time, it might increase in value. But still, when the new champions come out, most people will forget about the old champions. If you still remember who won Super Bowl last year, then you're pretty good. You're probably a very dedicated fan. Who knows who won last year's Super Bowl? Okay, then you're a real fan. I don't know about that. Okay, so, but many years later, after you have watched many Super Bowls, finally you will forget who won last year's Super Bowl. And these trophies and the rings, when these winners, team members, die, they cannot take that with them in their caskets. So that's why even such trophies would not last forever, and the winners cannot take with them after their physical death. But Paul reminds us that the saints, believers of Jesus Christ, not the New Orleans saints, we who are the true believers of Jesus Christ, the winning saints of Jesus Christ, if they finish a spiritual race well, a spiritual competition well, they would get a crown that will last forever. That's much, much, so much better than these trophies or crowns. What was Paul referring to when he talked about such a reward, a crown that will last forever? That's very important, because that is what we should set our mind to when we live our life. If we don't know what we are living for, how can we live a meaningful life that produces any fruit at all? So that's why it's important to know what is that crown that lasts forever. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 9, of course you can open your Bible to 2 Corinthians, it's the book after 1 Corinthians. If your Bible is already at 1 Corinthians, just go to the next book, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 9 and 10. Let me read it. Okay? So we make it our goal to please Him, to please God, to please Jesus Christ, whether we are at home in the body, talking about on earth, with our physical body while we're still alive here, or away from it, even after our physical death. It was Paul's goal to please God now and in eternity. That was his goal. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. What is this judgment talking about? This is not talking about judgment to hell or heaven. This is talking about judgment of true believers who are already sure that they will go to heaven because they have truly believed in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Here it is talking about even as believers. Although we are sure that we are going to heaven, but there will be a judgment for even true believers of Jesus Christ. And those who are faithful, they will receive a reward or a crown that lasts forever. It is affirmed by 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 14. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 14. Let me read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 14. If what he has built survives, what saints, believers of Jesus Christ, does in his life will be tested, and that pass the test, he will receive his reward. There will be a reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. If it cannot pass the test when he faces Jesus Christ, sorry, you will not get the reward. He himself will be saved. He will not go to hell because he has truly believed in Jesus Christ, but only as one escaping through the flames, naked, barely making it to heaven, but with no reward. But again, that leads to the question, what kind of reward would the faithful saints receive? Go to Matthew chapter 25 verse 21. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 25 verse 21. In that, Jesus taught about a parable of those who were faithful and those who were not faithful, and what will happen to them in the end. And this tells us what will happen to those who are faithful in their daily living as saints. Matthew 25:21. His master replied to the faithful one, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Here, I see that those who are faithful in their walk with Jesus as saints, they would be rewarded with more responsibilities in heaven, and they will experience greater joy in heaven, and they will be more welcomed when they see Jesus face to face. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6 tells us about what will true believers do in heaven. Many people also ask this question. When we are in heaven, what do we do? I mean, some people say we'll sing songs, sing praise songs, I mean, all the time. But what does this verse say? Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. All true believers of God, they will partake in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. These who truly believe in God, in Jesus Christ, they will not go to hell. The second death has no power over them. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with Him for 1,000 years. They will be priests. They would help, and they themselves will worship in eternity. And at the same time, they will reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. Of course, that also extends to new heavens and new earth in eternity. Reign, to rule with Jesus. Of course, God, just by His word, will be able to make everything happen. But God gives us the privilege of those faithful believers of Jesus Christ to rule with Him together in heaven. There will be many people. It's a very, very big place. Perfect place, but still, God will want us to be involved in the management of heaven in the future. And those faithful ones will have more responsibilities. Those who are not faithful will have less responsibilities and will be ruled, will be managed, will be guided and led. So, that I see is what the Bible tells us about the reward of the faithful winning saints. Therefore, verse 26 and verse 27, Paul concludes this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly, knowing that this is my goal, to please God in order to receive this eternal reward that comes in eternity, that produces eternal joy, overflowing joy, and that I will have more responsibilities in order to reign, to rule with Jesus Christ. I do not run like a man running aimlessly. Have you seen runners run? They know where is the finish line. If there's a runner who does not know where is the finish line and just running aimlessly, what will happen to the runner? The runner will never win. The runner will never get to the finish line. I do not fight like a man beating the air. In the Olympics, there were boxing events. And the boxers, they train themselves really hard, and the best way to train in actual fighting is sparring with contact. Okay? So, Paul said that, I do not fight like a man beating the air. Some people will just do shadow boxing in the air, but when you actually box with someone, if you just have been training in the air, shadow boxing, you will not be able to actually score any point in the actual fighting, maybe, because it's very different. So, verse 27, that's what Paul did. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. Paul was very disciplined with his body, with his daily living, and he did not want anything to distract him from the goal that God had given him. That is to please God in everything that he did in order to get the reward from God. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Paul knew if he was not faithful, he might not get the reward. He might be disqualified for the prize. And that's what Paul did not want to happen. Do you have this type of mindset? That I live my life in order to please God, in order I can receive the reward of the most glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who saved my life from eternal punishment. And also who let me be involved in the building of His kingdom. And if I'm faithful, I can share the joy, I can share the glory of His kingdom and rule with Him. If you have that mindset, then you would evaluate your life, what you are doing. Does it have eternal value, or is what I'm doing a waste of time when it is filtered through the eternal eyeglasses? It has no value after you have died, like those trophies or the crowns that man made for the winners of those sports events. Those who are wise, while they're alive in this body, they already think about what will happen in the next life and then be prepared for that. Those who are wise, while you're just in high school, you will think about college and you're already prepared for that and you will excel in college. And those who are wise, while they're in college, they're already thinking about their future career. Those who are single, who are thinking about marriage, and those who are married, they're thinking about having kids and their retirement. So when it comes, they are prepared. But our ultimate preparation is for our night in heaven, because this night, you know what? It can finish even today. If God wills, we might die tonight. If God wills, that's why many Haitians lost their lives. So life is not in our hands. Although if you think that I believe in Jesus Christ, I already have eternal life, realize that God is in control of your life as well. And whether you're going to receive a reward or not depends on what you do now. And if you don't take the precious opportunities and do what God wants you to do, you might lose your life. But even many people losing their lives in Haiti, I received email from pastors there in Haiti, and they reported that God revived many people. Many people became believers of Jesus Christ after the earthquake. And after they have become believers of Jesus Christ, what they did was that they worshiped God every day. They prayed to God urgently every day, because all that they were pursuing was destroyed. They had nothing else to do but to worship, praise, and pray to God. I hope we don't need to wait until God takes away what we are pursuing to feel the urgency to do what really counts in eternity. Second, willing saints offer thanks to God besides working hard to please God in order to receive the eternal reward that God would give to those who are faithful. But they also offer thanks to God. Now we have come to chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. I would be cross-referencing many Old Testament passages. Because of time restraint, I will not actually go to the many passages. If you have a pencil or a pen, you can write down these cross-references. And what I will be teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, and also to 10, verse 10. They are based on the New Testament history. Okay, so verse 1 of chapter 10, 1 Corinthians. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers. Don't be ignorant. You have to know this. Everyone, believers of Jesus Christ, if you are winning things, know this. That our forefathers were all under the cloud. What does that mean? Here, Paul was referring to the Israelites being guided by God and protected by God after they left Egypt, recorded in Exodus chapter 13, verse 21, and Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 to 20, records that God, through that cloud, guided them where they should go. And God, through that cloud, protected the Israelites from being killed by those Egyptians who regretted letting the Israelites go. They were slaves in Egypt. They were a precious source of labor and wealth for the Egyptians. Now they finally are gone. They didn't want to have that loss. Even after suffering from the 10th plague, they regretted. So they chased after them, but God protected His own chosen people through the clouds. Even today, as believers of Jesus Christ, as saints, do you know what God still guides us today? Not just in the past, According to Luke chapter 1 verse 79, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5, God still guides us and protects us today through His Holy Spirit, through prayer, through God's Word in the Bible. If you are a true believer of Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with God, and God will guide us through that relationship. If you have no relationship with God, you cannot hear God's voice and be guided by God. So that's why it's important for us to read God's Word, to pray to God, and to hear God's voice in our lives. And that they all passed through the sea. This refers to God's salvation, rescue, or deliverance. If you have read the book of Exodus or watched the movie The Prince of Egypt, you know that finally, by the power of God, Moses was able to divide the Red Sea, and the Israelites were able to pass through the Red Sea as if on dry ground. And then the Egyptians followed suit. Guess what happened? They were all drowned. They were all killed. Okay? Because they were trying to kill God's chosen people. And they did not believe in God. They did not obey God. And God protected His chosen people, but killed those who did not believe in God. Just like eternally, those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, they would be in hell. Only true believers of Jesus Christ will be saved because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for all true believers of Jesus Christ. This is recorded in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It tells us about God's salvation to all true believers of Jesus Christ through Jesus' blood poured out for those who are willing to believe in the only way that we can be saved. And also Galatians chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, let me continue. And verse 2, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What does that mean? Being baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. Here it is talking about that the Israelites, they were united by following God's chosen leader, Moses. And similarly, today we are united when we join Jesus Christ, who is the leader of the church, who is the ultimate leader or head of the church. And the church is His body. And this is recorded in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, about that Jesus Christ is our leader. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. You can write it down and read that at home. Verse 3. They all ate the same spiritual food. Not only God delivered them from the Egyptians, but God provided their daily needs by showering food that they needed for their stomach, for their body. This was recorded in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4 and 15. But even today, according to John chapter 6, verse 31 to 34, Jesus said that, I am going to give you the bread from heaven, for I am the bread of life. And Jesus Christ, if you have a relationship with Him, He will provide for not only your daily physical needs, but also your spiritual needs as well. And drink the same spiritual drink. Spiritual drink, Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. Through Moses hitting on a rock, the rock would have water flowing out to quench the thirst of the Israelites. Similarly, John chapter 4, verses 10 to 14, Jesus said that, if you come to me, I can give you living water, and if you drink that, you will never thirst again. If we are willing to believe in Jesus Christ, God will provide for us what we need every day, not just the food, but also the drink that will last till eternity. When we rely on His holy word, that's living water, through the Holy Spirit's guidance, we can be filled and fulfilled. For they drank from the spiritual rock. Some people would think, oh, it's the rock that produced the water. But actually, here it says that for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. It was Christ, even in the Old Testament, providing for the needs of the Israelites. Even today, Christ is providing for the needs of the true believers of Jesus Christ. See how blessed the Israelites were. Let me quickly summarize. God protected them, God guided them, God saved them, God gave them a spiritual godly leader, and God provided them with food and drink. Today, God provides the same to us even more than the Old Testament saints. But are we giving thanks to God for all this? Or are we like the Israelites who complained all the time about what they still did not have, missing the blessings and missing to appreciate the blessings God has already given them? That's why verse 5 says that, nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, because they were grumbling, they were complaining all the time, despite the blessings God had given them. That was recorded in Numbers chapter 14, verse 29. Even in the New Testament, Paul just mentioned that he did not want to be disqualified for their cries. Because we can complain all the time and not give thanks, and then as a result that will cause us to sin, disobey God, and we will lose our eternal reward, although we will be saved. As I think about the Super Bowl athletes, I found out that their good performance depended not only on their strict training, but also on their mindset, their mental status, and their mental health. And I believe those athletes who became leaders of the athletes in the team, Super Bowl teams, they were mentally healthy. They were filled with joy. They were content, expressed by giving thanks, appreciating what they already have. And such people can be leaders. Why? Because they don't always look at themselves, what I don't have, I try to get what I don't have. But they see, I have enough. I have more than enough, and I can give to others. Such people can be great leaders who are always thinking about what I can give instead of what I can take from others. And these other leaders who can also help other team members to work together, and not only so, they can last longer with not only their physical discipline, but also their spiritual or mental and even spiritual health if they believe in God. As a result, they can continue to train and to compete instead of being messed up by their bad habits when they do not overthink, they do not think that they have enough. As a result, they're discontent. So they seek pleasure and contentment somewhere else. You'll see that many of these big sports game athletes, many of them have addiction to drugs or alcohol, or they fight with people because they are very strong, and all these will be disqualified when they do that very soon, sooner or later, and they cannot continue to compete as athletes if they do not have the mental health as well. So that's why 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 tells us, but godliness with contentment, to give thanks and know that what I need God has given me, I thank God. What can I do for you, God? Live a godly life. This is great gain. This is great wisdom. This is great profits that will result in eternal reward when we see Jesus Christ face to face. So, second, winning saints offer thanks to God, resulting in a healthy and a godly life. So think about the blessings in your life all the time and give thanks and think about, God, you love me so much, what can I do for you? Third, winning saints worship God alone. Verse 6 to 7. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. The Israelites, they set their heart on evil things, and the main reason why they set their heart on evil things was that, verse 7, do not be idolaters. They were worshipping false gods. It's like you have your mom and your dad, and you see someone on the street and you say, mom, dad, but that's not your mom or dad. God hates people who worship the false gods instead of the true God. And that is the first commandment in the 10 commandments according to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. In Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 6, this recounts what Paul was saying. The Israelites became idolaters in verse 7. The people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry or parties. In those parties, they indulged themselves, they sinned after they have worshipped the idols. Idolatry is always a cause for other sins in our lives. Most of us who have believed in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior most likely will not have a statue at home to bow down to worship. But in our hearts, we might have idols. Idols are those that have taken higher priority than God in our lives. If we have those things in our hearts, we will not see that as a high priority to come to worship God on Sundays. And we will not see that as a high priority to obey God during the weekdays. That is also worship. Because we already have a God in our heart, we have other things that we want to pursue. I don't know what you are pursuing, but have those things become higher in priority than worshiping God? Then those have become your idols. And there are severe consequences if we worship idols instead of the true God. It might be that you want to do really well in your school exams. It might be that you want to do really well in your school projects, or a work project, or even a home project, home improvement project, or a competition you participate on Sundays. Then, since your mind is so focused on that, you say that, God, I need more time. Give me more time. I worship you later, maybe, when I have the time. Not knowing that the Sabbath day, the time for us to worship God, is a chance for us to pause and stop, to readjust our priorities, to reevaluate our life, to see if we are wasting our time or if we are doing things that is best designed by God, that's the best for us. It is also a time for us to rest. If I was not a believer of Jesus Christ, I would have worked 7 days a week because I tend to overwork. I could be a workaholic. But because I was a believer of Jesus Christ, Sundays, no work, even, my boss wanted me to go back to work. Sorry, I am a Christian, I have to worship God. And that's my desire, and this is more important than work, you know? So because I can die anytime, it's ultimately God I need to be accountable. It is God that I should worship because He loves me so much. See, that gives me time to rest, time to reevaluate about my life. That's why we come to worship services, to praise God and to give us a time to rest. Some people treat Sunday as the Sabbath day, the day to rest for New Testament saints. For the Jews, they observe the Sabbath day, the day to rest, to do nothing, to just rest on Saturday. Today, Jews still do that. In synagogues on Saturdays, they have 3-hour worship service. I've been there before. But the purpose is out of love from God that we should stop, rest. Let your body, your mind, your spirit be recharged, so that you will not waste your time doing things you're busy, but you're busy for something that is not valuable. Is watching the Super Bowl game idolatry? It depends. It depends on our attitude towards the Super Bowl game. If our passion towards these games has gone to the fanatic level, I know some people, they will not go to their children's wedding because there is a very important football game. They will skip the wedding to go to the game. That is fanatic. Okay? And I knew that there were others who would do other silly things, painting their faces and do other crazy things, maybe even getting in a fight after their supporter team has lost, and getting into lawsuits. That is fanatic. That is worshiping idol. But if you go just enjoy the game, learn from the athletes, have a good time with your family members, and then even through these games, it is an opportunity for you to witness about Jesus Christ, to get into the lives of your friends who love football game, then that can be something that has eternal value for you. But if we are a big sports game fanatic, while we are watching the Super Bowl game, our family members has emergency needs, you say, "Sorry, I'm in the Super Bowl game, I cannot help you, sorry, if you die, that's your business." That is fanatic. That is idolatry. Because that Super Bowl game has become more important than the needs of someone who is in urgent need. Or you have important exams tomorrow, and yet you say that this is such a historical event. Although I have not been fully prepared for the three exams tomorrow, that's okay, let me watch the games first, maybe, and then party after that, and then I'll just stay overnight to study. Guess what? Most likely you will not do well, because they're trying to cram things last minute and you have not slept well. Your mind will not function very well. You may barely pass, but you will not do well. But in that, you have shown what is more important. And you might have very easily neglected your other responsibilities when the Super Bowl games, or football games, or basketball games, or those baseball games has higher priority in your life than anything else, even God. That is idolatry. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 12 says that everything is permissible for me, Paul said that, but not everything is beneficial. We can do many things, but is that beneficial for us in eternity? Paul continued to say, everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered. I will not be controlled. That will not become my God. I will not be mastered by anything. So when it says, worship God alone, and no idols, no idolatry. Lastly, winning things, wows. W, to work hard to please God. O, offer thanks to God. And another W, that is to worship God alone. And lastly, slay sins through God, to kill sins in our lives. Verse 8 to verse 10, we should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. God was very serious about sin. While they were worshipping idols, they also committed sexual immorality. Because worshipping idols in New Old Testament time always associated with having sex before those fertility gods, and that was hateful before God. That was recorded in Numbers chapter 25, verse 1 to 2, and verse 4 to 9. Verse 9. Not only did those Israelites worship idols and they committed sexual sins, but they also tested God. We should not test the Lord, Paul said. Verse 9. As some of them did, and they were killed by snakes. Sin. God hates sin, and there is always consequence to sin. At that time, those people were questioning God and Moses' intention about why, God, you have taken us out of Egypt. Wasn't life then better than now? Now, I mean, they have gotten sick of the food from heaven and the water from God, and they complained to God. Because of such testing of God, and they even cursed God, God killed them by snakes. That's recorded in Numbers 21:4-6. Because it's better for them to lose their physical life than to continue to hurt themselves and even corrupt many other people and causing eternal loss. That's why God sometimes chooses to take away people's physical life so that they will not cause further harm to themselves and others spiritually. Because God always looks at things from an eternal perspective. And do not grumble. Many people were complaining, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. Here, those people in the Old Testament, in the desert, they were speaking against God's appointed leaders, Moses and Aaron. They wanted to lead. They said, I mean, what qualifies you to lead me? I want to be your leaders. As a result, they rebelled, but God killed them. Because such rebellion against God's appointed leaders and ultimately against God. I believe that many people will have parties after the Super Bowl game, and I believe many people will drink alcoholic drinks. Okay, you have control of yourself, not getting drunk, that's okay, but many people might get drunk. And after they're drunk, guess what? They would do silly things. Some of them might practice sexual immorality, have sex outside the marriage, before the marriage, or they might criticize or even curse God when they're drunk. They feel free to talk about anything or curse the leaders of the country or the state for the bad economy and many things that they are not happy about. People can very easily complain and curse even God. But all these things are sins in God's eyes. We should not do these things, and there are always consequences to these, even if God chooses not to immediately kill us when we commit such sins. Sins ultimately will get to us and will kill us sooner or later. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. Sins will kill us. Physically, if you have sexual immorality, you will most likely have STD, sexually transmitted diseases like AIDS, and end up in death. Or you fight with a drunkard. You are drunk, you fight with someone who's drunk, and then both of you are hurt, maybe even killed. Or you drunk drive, and then you die in a car crash. See, all these things, the root cause of that is idolatry, not worshipping the true God, and as a result, ending up in sins, and sin causes death. How can we kill all these sins in our lives, and not let these things kill us? If you don't kill sin, sin will kill you. How can we kill all these things? I see that one of the most important mission as believers of Jesus Christ, or challenge for believers of Jesus Christ, is to kill sin in our lives and not let the sins kill us. James chapter 4 verse 7. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The devil is not almighty. The devil's power is very limited. Especially when we submit to God who is almighty, he will provide us the strength to resist Satan. And when we try to resist Satan, the temptations to do all these evil things, guess what? Satan will run away from you. And you will see that the first time you resist sins, temptations in your life, it feels very hard. But after you have gone through that, the second time, you learn how to rely on God better, and it becomes easier for you to resist sin. And then, you'll be able to resist sin all the time when you continually trust God, rely on God's resource through God's word, through prayer, and the Holy Spirit. So in conclusion, in closing, Super Bowl, a Sunday can be a great experience. If we learn from these dedicated athletes, and as Paul taught us, to first of all learn to also have discipline and work hard to please God in order to receive the eternal reward for us. And second, to offer thanks to God in our lives. Think about God's blessings for us. Instead of complaining, we give thanks and be joyful. And then we would be willing to worship God alone in our lives. And lastly, we will be able to kill sin and not let sin kill us. A willing saint who vows or do you just come here to go through another message, get more knowledge, or learn about what 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 24 to 10 means? I have explained the scripture to you, but it's of no use to you if you do not put into practice what God has told us to do in our lives, so that we can indeed be winning saints in eternity. Our reward is the crown that will last forever, better than what New Orleans saints might get tonight. I'm not sure whether it will win or not, but I see if I wow in my life as a winning saint, I surely would receive the eternal reward, the eternal crown from God. Let's pray. Oh dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful because we're Louisianans and that we're so close to New Orleans, and that New Orleans the saints will be in Super Bowl tonight. But through their hard work, we learn much lessons. I just pray that we will also be dedicated and we will be disciplined in training ourselves spiritually, so that we can receive the eternal reward when we see Jesus Christ face to face. I just pray that you also help us to live a life free from any kind of idols that replaces God as the highest priority in our lives. May you bless us when we live a sin-free life, and may people see us, they will say, wow, true believers of Jesus Christ, what a beautiful life that they can live because they believe God, and they will want to see God, and we can be the witnesses of Jesus Christ. A prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.